Hey there, skips and skipperettes from all across the wild, vast, and untamed lands known only as Internet Land. Welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Well, it's been a long, crazy year for us here at Skipcast Industries. We've had a record listenerships. We've had a fantastic year. Lots of great episodes over at Joey and Trevor Talk to Each Other. And we've had some really great informational, historical, and sometimes just silly episodes of Tales from the Jungle Cruise. Now, today we're putting out our final episode of the Jungle Cruise radio plays for the year. We're hoping to have some more adventures of Gary London back after the first of the year. It is also the day before I get married, and I'm taking a little bit of a break. Going to be out and about for a couple of weeks in Hawaii, and we're not going to be recording any new episodes until the end of November. So we're going to be putting up some episodes that have corrected audio over the next few weeks, but we'll be back happy, smiling, and with new great Jungle Cruise adventures coming up in December. Once again, thanks everyone for joining us. Now, if you haven't listened to the adventures of Gary London before, this is the seventh of the Jungle Cruise radio plays. We definitely welcome you to go back. We've been correcting the audio on some of the older episodes and cleaning it up, putting in some special effects, and having a fun time with it. Now, the Jungle Cruise radio plays, of course, star Joey Hurley, Skipper Joey, and Skipper Trevor Kelly from Joey and Trevor Talk to Each Other. Skipper Kitty joins us on this one again, and I do apologize for the worst Spanish accent that I could have ever imagined for this episode, but we were in a pinch and we didn't have an extra person to do the voice. Either way, we had a great time with the story arc. They're characters that we've grown to love and drink to, and we hope to bring you more of their adventures, and we'd love to hear what you think about anything about the whole podcast, but particularly the Jungle Cruise radio plays. Our email address is junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S, @gmail.com, and you can always find us over on Facebook at facebook.com/junglecruise. Kungaloosh, everyone. Have a great rest of the year, and we'll see you soon.
There's a river somewhere, and on that river are the roughest, most daring, and adventurous men who have ever ventured into a land of adventure. We call them skippers, and their names are legendary. Names like Don and Rupert, Kevin, and the greatest skipper of them all, Gary London, Skipper Esquire. In the indistinct time period that rests sometime between the First World War and a Hemingway novel, these brave men risked everything, ferrying freight and passengers along the danger-filled rivers of the world. Never without their trusty firearms, except for a 6-year period we don't discuss, these daring doers did their daring and do, and became heroes and legends. These are the tales of these Jungle Cruise. When we last had joined our adventurers, Skipper Gary London, Esquire, the hero of our story, had just arrived in Los Angeles with his co-pilot, Skippy. After a protracted flashback in which our hero foiled the pirate Raven Marionwood, we now return to Los Angeles with our heroes already exploring the city.
That's right. Gary London, Skipper, Esquire. Perhaps you've heard of me? That's right. Gary London, Skipper, Esquire. Perhaps you have heard of me.
Gary, that's a mime.
I don't care. The least he can do is have the respect to respond to me, not just make that silly face and wave his hands around.
Oh, jeez, it's gonna be one of these days.
That's right. Gary London, Skipper, Esquire. Perhaps you have heard of me. Well, maybe if I plug up those holes in your invisible box with invisible duct tape, then you'll learn some manners.
Gary, I think his white face is turning blue. Maybe you should let him out.
No, he needs a taste of his own medicine. Oh, it's not so funny now, huh? Wriggling around on the ground and dying inside your invisible box. Maybe it's an invisible coffin, you stupid mime.
No, Skipper Gary, I think he's really having a seizure. He doesn't look good.
Well, give him an invisible belt to bite down on, and let's get out of here. We've got a lot of Hollywood to see, and not a lot of time to do so.
Wait, why don't we have a lot of time?
Well, these episodes are only like 23 to 35 minutes long, tops.
Gotcha.
So, Skippy, Here we are, Los Angeles. Did you ever think we'd make it here? Look at those buildings. Look at those cars. And the trees. There's so many trees. Yep, Los Angeles. Let's go find a bar.
It's 8 in the morning, Gary.
They have 8 in the morning now? I am much more acquainted with 8 in the evening. The morning one isn't one I see too often. Kind of like that ugly cousin you only have to see every year at the family picnic. 8 in the morning. What will they think of next? Okay, Skippy, off we go.
Wow, this place is huge. Look at that. It's a street trolley. I'm so excited. This is so exciting.
Oh, don't get too excited, Skippy. They have one of those trolleys at the Grove, too. It's not such a big deal.
Oh, so many people. So much bustling life. So much smog.
Oh, okay, Skippy, calm down. You see one crowded, polluted city, you've seen them all.
So where to first, mon capitan?
Well, since you, for some reason, seem to think that inebriation is inappropriate, I guess we need to go out and check our first clue. If you remember, when we were at Lake Titicaca, my old friend Harold the Yeti told us that he had seen my father last when he disappeared 10 years ago. He also said that every year, on the same date, a case of absinthe arrives from my father.
I liked Harold. He was nice. Also, I enjoyed that strange vendor who was set up near his home selling turkey legs. That was fun.
Now, when we expected the cases of absinthe, we discovered that they had shipped from Los Angeles, from a liquor store that specialized in scotch called Lock, Stock, and Barrels.
So, how do we find the store? This is such a big city.
To the Yellow Pages, young skipper.
So, Gary and Skippy used the most modern-day technology available, a printed book with lists of addresses and phone numbers, and head to the address in Hollywood. The stone-faced building on Santa Monica Boulevard looks like a castle, with only a simple sign proclaiming the name of the store, Lock, Stock, and Barrels, purveyors of fine scotch.
Hello, booze merchant. Come sell me your wares. Here, hoochie hoochie hoochie.
Aye, hold your goddamn horses just a flippin' minute, you daft stupids. I'll be right there.
Well there, he sounds like a lovely gentleman.
Lumbering down the staircase came the most bear-like man that Gary had ever seen. His name was Scotchy McTaggart, owner of the Lock, Stock, and Barrels. He was as round as he was tall, wisps of unruly red hair jutting out at all angles, and a kilt that perhaps had not been washed since the days of yore.
Welcome to Lock, Stock, and Barrels, where every day we engage in whiskey business. My name is Scotchy. Can I interest you in our house specialty, our blended Scotch whiskey, Jimmy Walker?
I don't know. How is it?
Oh, it's dynamite! Now, how can I help ye?
Well, I have a bit of a mystery on my hands.
Nope, don't care for mysteries. Now, if you have a good bit of historical romance, or maybe a good war novel, particularly with a handsome Scottish lad, then I'm in.
No, I didn't mean I have a bit of a mystery on my hands in the way that I have paperbacks for sale. I actually have a peculiar and mysterious circumstance, and I need your help to solve it.
Well, then, I do believe that you have me mistaken for the other Scotsman who solves mysteries, the private investigator McGruff.
No, I'm fairly sure that I have found the right man, for you can, hopefully, tell me a little bit about this bottle of absinthe.
Oh, you're wanting a wee nip of the wormwood, are ya? That stuff's the devil's brew. Causes the strangest hallucinations if you drink too much. Well, wait. That's a bottle of green fairy absinthe. I'm afraid I can't help you with that. Thank you. Have a good day, sir.
Oh, okay. Wait. Did I say something wrong? Did I forget to brush my teeth this morning? I know you shipped this bottle to my friend Harold the Yeti at Lake Titicaca, and I want to know who paid for it.
Oh, well, lads, you see, that's not really the kind of information I keep. Probably a mistake, anyway. I don't sell that brand. Now, the door, it's over there. It's a magical device that lets you walk through walls. You should try it out.
Hold up, Lushy.
Scotchy.
Whatever. You're looking about as guilty as a Baptist in a brothel. You know something, and you're going to tell me what you know.
Nah, that's not what I'll be doing.
Well, would President Benjamin Franklin help you remember?
Look, first of all, Franklin was never a president. Secondly, all my customer data is confidential. I run a tight ship here.
Well, your tight ship is about to get some holes in it. I'd like to introduce you to my associates, Smith and Wesson.
Ha! You think a few bullets will make me break my oaths to my customers? I'm a Scotsman. There's nothing I value more than my honor.
Oh, I'm not aiming at you. See that bottle of 80-year-old Balvenie Scotch behind you? Unless you spill what I need to know, that bottle is going to have more holes in it than this plot.
Oh, blast! You know the weakness of any true Scot. You know how to hit a man in his bottles, friend. Ack! Okay, here's the address of the guy who pays me every year like clockwork. I don't know much more than that, it's true. Now don't shoot me, baby.
Oh, stop crying. I can't stand a man in a kilt and tears. It's awful. Here, for your troubles, I'll buy a bottle of scotch from you. What's that one there with the green, red, blue, and yellow label?
They say that if you're looking for something, that's the scotch you drink. It can help you search for anything. It's called Glen Google.
Well, I am feeling lucky. Here's $50. Skippy, let's go.
Okay, Skipper Gary. Goodbye, a strange, loud, stinky Scottish man.
And with that, Skipper Gary London and Skippy catch a cab and head to Beverly Hills, with a brief stop at the Brown Derby for lunch and a couple of drinks. Eventually, as the sun is about to set, they arrive at the address that Gary had been given. As the cab drops them off in front of the palatial mansion, Gary surveys the tall security walls and metal gates.
Skippy, this is just a guess, but I think someone important lives here.
You are truly a master of the obvious, Skipper Gary.
Why, thank you, Skippy. You say the nicest things to me. Well, now to figure out who lives here. We could scale the walls, but that seems a bit risky, and also athletic, and also a lot of work.
Skipper Gary...
Now, we could plan an elaborate ruse where you and I are pretending to be muskrat exterminators, and we use that as an excuse to get into the palatial study and look for signs of the caper.
Skipper Gary, there's a really easy way...
Well, I do suppose we both could dress up in drag and seduce the security guard... stealthily gaining access to the mansion and determining whose mansion it is.
Or we could just look at the name on the mailbox because, well, that would make so much more sense.
Oh, you never want to have fun. You are the death of fun, you know that? Party pooper. Okay, let's see whose place this is. Wait, this seems familiar. R. Valentine. Valentine. From where do I know that name?
Oh, Gary, have you forgotten me so quickly? To forget the famous Rudolph Valentino.
Rudy! Rudy Valentino! Famous actor, playboy, and darling of the social scene. My goodness, how are you? It has been way too long.
I know, it's been 4 years. How's the jungle been treating you?
Oh my gosh, Rudolph Valentino! You're like the Justin Bieber or Leonardo DiCaprio of the 20s. You're amazing.
Oh, I am sure I don't know of whom you are making an anachronistic reference to, but thank you, young lad.
Yeah, introductions. Always forget these. Rudy, that's Skippy, my co-pilot. He's okay, but if you have a harebrained scheme that involves elaborately painting your body in green paint and pretending to be a Martian so you can break into a mansion, he's the one to put a crushing lid of boringness on it.
Oh, so old friend. Come inside my mansion and tell me what brings you to my humble abode. Although I will not say I am surprised to see you, it seems that the night is fortuitous and that our scene is playing out with incredible drama.
Oh, Rudy. Well, thank goodness you are in silent movies, because right now you just said a lot without saying anything, when what you should be saying is, "Hey, Gary, have a drink, old friend." And perhaps a girl or two, because I have spares. I sure know you are not using them.
Please, Gary, welcome to my home, the Falcon's Lair. Allow me to get you a drink. What was your favorite? Grand alcohol and the tears of a virgin?
You are a funny one, Rudolph. Just give me a scotch, and make it a double, or a double-double. My tank is running low, and today just seems to be full of surprises. So, who are all these losers? Looks like you're having quite a party. I'm usually a fan of parties, because where there's a party, there's usually booze. But I have questions, and those questions want answers in the way that I want a drink. Speaking of which, could I have a drink?
You'll get your answers, Gary. Let me introduce you to some of my friends. Here, stand up, Roscoe. This is a fantastic comedian named Roscoe Arbuckle.
Hey, sit down, fatty. Rudy, do you have any idea about the whereabouts of my father? And what are your feelings about absinthe?
I'm sorry, Gary. Not really my drink. And I don't know where your father is, but you're not the only person who's interested in Carrie London's whereabouts. Oh, well, so sad. I had so many other guests to introduce you to. Harold Lloyd, Greta Garbo, and this fine gentleman is a Mr. Charlie Chaplin. He promised me if I ever wanted to take up comedy, I should see him.
You know, Charlie, Charles, Chuck, maybe you should grow a mustache. I think it would be a good look for you. Look, Valentino, I didn't come here to be wowed by your celebrity A-list.
Oh, I did, Skipper Gary. I'm going to go sit in Miss Garbo's lap and just listen to her talk. I love exotic women.
Well, my little jungle detective, why would you think I would know anything at all about your father? You know, much as I do appreciate the masculine energy of your jungle lifestyle, and you know those khakis do wonderful for you, if you know what I mean. I don't get involved in those politics. I make movies. It's not like you've stumbled onto some sort of meeting of a secret society of Hollywood's most powerful people who secretly control the world through their fame and power. That would be ludicrous.
You see this invoice? It's from Lock, Stock, and Barrel. An invoice for a case of absinthe to be delivered to Harold the Yeti every year. And Harold was the last one to see my father alive. The address for this invoice is this address, and I suspect you know something about this.
Gary, 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 we've been acquaintances for years. I have no reason to lie to you, and I don't have the answers to your questions, but I know someone who does.
Really? Who's that?
Well, well, well. Fancy running into you here, Skipper Gary London.
Oh, Kitty? Oh, crap. I mean, hello there, Sugar Lumps. And also, drink, please. I guess there's no reason I should be surprised that a New York socialite and one of the richest women in the world would be here socializing with the Hollywood elite and the most eligible bachelor in the United States.
Oh, I doubt that I'm Rudy's type, but he is such a cutie. No, I just flew in last week, and he's so sweet to let me stay with him for a few days.
Well, this kind of coincidence boggles the imagination, Kitty. I travel 12 months and thousands of miles to get to Los Angeles to search for my father, and I find you at the mansion that's my best lead in finding him? Is there something going on here that I should know about?
Probably, but that's only because you tend to be a little dense. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if you were shocked the world is round.
Wait, the world is round? Well, I know that, Kitty. I just feel like I'm on the bad end of a joke. 10 years since my father has disappeared, I finally get a lead on what may have happened to him, and on what seems to be an incredible bunch of coincidences, I wind up at the mansion of the most popular actor in Hollywood with the Tinseltown elite, and my on-again-off-again girlfriend is here, ratcheting up the sexual tension, and Skippy is off playing Hide the Python with Greta Garbo. Dense isn't what I am. Befuddled might be a closer word, and not nearly intoxicated enough. That is what I am.
Oh, Gary, I've missed you too. So, my little snuggly jungle bear, tell Kitty what's going on and I'll make it right.
I think perhaps that Rudolph Valentino, greatest of the lovers, will now be sick.
Well, Kitty, this invoice says someone here has been paying Harold the Yeti's booze bills, but Rudy says he has no idea as to who is doing it, so I am a little confused.
Gary, can I see that invoice? Well, you see, the mystery is solved. This is dated for last year, and Rudy only moved into this mansion 8 months ago. Maybe the prior owner was the one who would know about your father.
Oh, crap. We're so close. Well, do we know who lived here before Rudy bought the house?
Oh, sadly, Gary, I do not know the man, but coincidence seems to be sticking its thumb into our sticky pie again today. For that man is coming to our little soiree and meeting tonight. Our little social group. This meeting is very important, and I am told that this man is, how do you say, the man behind the curtain.
So who is this mysterious gentleman? Also, equally mysterious, is why I still don't have a drink. I need one to calm my nerves, then I need one to calm everything else. Maybe one more, just to make sure things are calm enough.
No, I don't know much about him. He goes by a code name. No one knows his true identity, but he has influence in every studio in Hollywood. Some say he is the force behind everything that happens in this town. I have never met him in person, but tonight he makes his appearance.
And here's the really interesting thing, Gary. And I was going to save this up for your birthday present, but it seems that this person has been trying to use his connections to find your father. I was going to surprise you and see if I could find anything out, but I didn't want you to get your hopes up. It may just be a wild goose chase.
So this crazy Hollywood type has been trying to use his connections to find my dad? Why would he be trying to do that? The plot thickens.
And so does the fog. It's getting thicker than Miss Garbo's accent.
Wow, that fog is really rolling in. It's getting denser than this plot. It's getting denser than my co-pilot.
You know, I have heard the fog follows this man around. My theory, our illustrious benefactor brings a smoke machine with him wherever he goes.
Oh, give him points for style. Although, I imagine that's kind of a pain in the ass when he goes to try on jeans at Target. I mean, you'd be up to your ass in fog. Not able to see if you need skinny jeans or some super hipster skinny jeans. Or, why can't I fit my legs into these jeans?
It is, my friends, a bit mysterious. We don't know his real name, we don't know where he comes from, but he has his hands in the pockets of everyone in Hollywood. Still, I hear rumors about the next project he is trying to produce. The meeting tonight is about that. He wants us to make a movie about, well, about the jungle.
Well, why would he want to do that? It's so boring and jungly.
At that exact moment, the doors to the palatial mansion are thrown open, and a thin layer of fog rolls into the entryway.
Really? This is the best fog I get. This is the best fog available. Someone's getting fired over this. I guarantee it. For none shall sully the reputation of Dr. Hippopotamo. Dr. Hippopotamo? Really? Yeah, in Spanish it means... Yeah, I know what it means. It means Dr. Hippopotamus. I got it. That one doesn't require a lot of translation, really.
Now, Gary, don't be rude. This is a very important guest. Hello, Dr. Hippopotamo. I'm Kitty Carruthers of the New York Carruthers. This is Gary London, Skipper, Esquire. He's of the London Londons.
A pleasure to make your acquaintance, Miss Carruthers. Mr. London. Now, I have a very important meeting to get to. It's much Hollywood ballyhooing, you know. We have so much to do. We have to plan scripts. We have to make budgets, distribute films, take over the world with an international mind control scheme.
Wait, hold on. What was that last part?
Oh, nothing. I'm sorry. My English is sometimes not so good. I'm sure you misunderstood. You just must have misheard. Anyway, we need to get this meeting started. Mr. London, Mr. Carruthers, I'm sure that we will see each other again very soon.
And with that, Dr. Hippopotamo, Rudolph Valentino, and all of the Hollywood A-list headed into the meeting room, closing the door behind them, and leaving a very confused Gary, Skippy, and Kitty.
You know, there may be times where I'm accused of being dense, or not getting the big picture.
Who is there?
But is it my imagination, or is the most powerful man in Hollywood A guy in a Brooks Brothers suit.
And it was a very nice suit, you know, impeccably tailored, and I know clothes.
Okay, granted, a very impeccably tailored, lovely suit. But is it my imagination, or is the most powerful man in Hollywood a guy in a nice suit with a rubber hippo mask over his head? I mean, am I missing something here?
Well, don't forget the fog machine and the flair for the dramatic.
The fog machine was a nice touch, but it's the fundamental base of the fact that he's a guy wearing a rubber hippo mask. Does anybody else find that a little strange?
Well, more than a little. Quite peculiar, to be sure.
Yeah, as queer as a $3 bill, actually.
You just really wanted to say queer, didn't you?
Okay, guilty as charged.
Well, I am utterly flummoxed. I mean, what do you do after you meet a guy in a rubber hippo mask? It really just kind of caps off a very peculiar day. A day in which I have still not gotten a drink to the minibar.
Well, Gary, if nothing else, we get to spend some time together. I've missed you so much. Maybe when we're done in Los Angeles, we can go to South Tijuana, and you can help me with a little chupacabra problem I've been having.
Kitty, there is no way that doesn't sound like a very innuendo-filled invitation. Still, I just can't get off my mind that a dude in a rubber mask, really? All right, well, besides taking a very long drink from this very lovely glass of scotch, I'm not sure where we go from here.
How about we go into this secret passage that I just found?
Well, you know, Kitty, we could always go into the secret passage that Skippy just found. Wait, hold on a sec, Skippy. What do you mean, secret passage?
Well, I was thinking, Skipper Gary, that Dr. Hippopotamo lived in this house before Mr. Valentino. And maybe we could snoop around. And maybe we could find some evidence that we could link to your father. And then I thought, if I was a character in a dramatic story, what would I do to advance the plot? And then it hit me.
I'm about to hit you. Hard and often, so get to the point.
Right, Skipper Gary. What always happens when the plot has stagnated and the characters have to resort to small talk because the story is so poorly written, they find a secret passage.
That's brilliant, Skippy.
So I started nosing around through the bookshelf. I saw a bunch of books. The Cabinet of Dr. Calgary, The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, The Amazing Butcher Shop of Dr. Doolittle, and then I came across The Secret Passage of Dr. Hippopotamo. So I pulled out the book and the secret passage opened. It was pretty easy.
Skippy, sometimes your naive innocence and pure stupid luck make me truly appreciate you. Other times I wake up hungover and wonder who you are.
Aw, thanks, Skipper Gary. So, shall we go down the passage?
Lead on. Skippy and ladies first. You know, just in case there's a Trapper 7 down there.
Always the gentleman.
On we go, down an old deserted hallway. Mostly just dust and cobwebs. Wait, Skippy, do you see that door there up ahead?
Yeah, I see it.
Well, why don't you pull it open and see if anything terrible happens to you?
Oh my, Gary, it's a secret library. So many books.
And so much dust. Why do books always mean dust and reading? Wherever there are books, I eventually end up having to do some reading. Isn't there some easier way to deliver knowledge?
Wow, Skipper Gary, there's a whole wall of photographs and sketches. And this guy in the photos looks a lot like you, but an older you, and possibly more handsome.
Well, batter and deep fry me and call me a corn dog. That's my dad, Carrie London, my mom, Cherry London, and me. Wait, that's not me. I was never in Budapest in the spring. Look at how those poppies are blooming. I'd remember that. No, Gary London, you would remember that. But that is not you in those pictures. Jesus Christ, did you have to sneak up on me like that? Oh, let me catch my breath. Oh, really? Sneak up behind people in the Secret Passage Library? No, nothing could go wrong with that.
Dr. Hippopotamo, is this the way to the bathroom? We were looking for the bathroom, together as a group, which may seem kind of strange, but we all sort of had to go at the same time.
So, Mr. Rubber Masky Guy, why all this secrecy? Why all the pictures of my family? This is all spiraling out of control into some strange freak show mystery, and I'm having none of it. It's time for some resolution. You're right, Gary. It's time you knew the truth. When I came to Hollywood 10 years ago, I didn't intend to be a mover and a shaker, to be the most influential man in Tinseltown. I had leveraged myself into a position of power so I could solve a mystery. And the further down the rabbit hole I got, the more I was able to set it up so people owed me favor after favor. Before long, I found I had power. Loads of power. More power than I could imagine. But because of my horrible secret, I had to hide my face. If the people I was seeking ever found out who I was, the game would be up, and I would lose my only chance to find my place in the world. A terrible secret? What, are you one of the Baldwin brothers? Because that would be terrible. Also, what the hell does this have to do with me?
Also, I actually do have to find the bathroom. Do you know where it is?
Well, Gary, you see, all this wealth, all this power, it has brought me the answer to the one question I wanted to answer. The most important question I could find. What happened to my father 10 years ago? You know, oddly enough, that's the same quest I'm on. How strange that the two of us would both be on lifelong quests to find our mutual fathers. Well, we should exchange notes sometimes. I bet we have plenty of stories. But that still doesn't explain why you have pictures of my family on the walls.
Really, Gary? Really? You're not getting this?
That's right, Kitty. Because behind this mask is the secret I have had to hide even from my brother. You see, I am not really named Dr. Hippopotamo. Really? Bo, please, blow my mind some more. You're not named Dr. Hippopotamo? You didn't go to medical school with a giant rubber hippo mask on your head? Well, I am shocked. No, Gary. Behind this mask, I am. Look, idiot. Everyone else that had to figure this out, I'm Larry London, your identical twin brother. Here, let me take this off for you. Larry London? A brother? Wait, I never knew you. And you, with the mask off, you're a spitting image of me. I mean, you even have the mandatory evil goatee thing going on. And I am vastly more handsome. But yeah, I can see the identical twin resemblance thing. Well, brother, I've spent the last 10 years looking for Dad, and now that we're together, there's no way we can fail.
With two handsome London men, there's no way I can fail.
With a plot that's contrived and hokey, and with me getting Miss Garbo's phone number, there's no way I can fail.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't take 6 more months till the next episodes, I think this is a win-win situation. Well, let's toast to the adventure, and to finding out our dad.
Kungaloosh!
Kungaloosh? What's that?
There's a river somewhere, and on that river are the roughest, most daring and adventurous men who have ever ventured into a land of adventure. Then there are men like Gary London, who will return in Gary London and the Case of the Pickled Liver, coming soon. These are the tales of the Jungle Cruise. Join us at some point in the future, perhaps the distant future, where we will answer these important questions. What will the next episode hold for our intrepid adventurer, Skipper Gary London? What will it mean for him now that he has found his twin brother?
I have to admit, I am curious about that as well.
What kind of adventures will Skippy have with Greta Garbo?
Oh, a gentleman doesn't kiss and tell, or fondle and tell, or, well, it's about time that Skippy got some. You know what I mean.
Will our listeners find out the mysterious history of Larry London, and what of the birth of the mysterious Dr. Hippopotamo?
I have to admit, I'm a little bit curious about that as well.
And finally, will the next episode of this podcast post before the leaves change colors?
Honestly, it's pretty much a crapshoot.
Join us next time, skippers, scouts, and adventurers of all shapes and sizes, as we will once again venture forth with the Tales from the Jungle Cruise. This has been a presentation of Skipcast Networks. For more exciting Skipcast podcasts, please join us at facebook.com/Skipcast Networks or search Skipcast on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. For other entertaining madness, join our friends Trevor and Joey of Joey and Trevor Talk to Each Other at facebook.com/Joey and Trevor or on iTunes or Stitcher Radio.